shorts in the bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. Guys, it's happening.
Yes.
It is after an interminable wait and a lot of people who have sent me messages. We are finally doing Theodore Rex.
Yes.
I think it's 1995.
Something like that, yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg movie where she, it's a buddy cop action comedy. Really more, I would even say, of an action movie than a comedy movie where her partner is a dinosaur.
Yes.
Yep.
It is crazy. I was, just to give people a little background, I was work. Oh, I should even say, all right, I'm here with Cody Wolf.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, Jack Estabrook.
Shaft is in this movie.
And Brian Mueller.
I can't name a single line.
Cookies.
I know. Yeah, there's, yeah, why is he fascinated with cookies? I was working at Blockbuster in the mid-90s, and I remember this coming out, and this was originally shot for theatrical release.
This was not released in theaters?
This was not released in theaters.
Oh, really?
This was, at the time, was the most expensive direct-to-video movie ever made and released.
Wow.
And we used to have parents come in, and I mean, there's a lot of terrible movies out there. There's a lot of terrible kids movies. I mean, we would have parents come in and be like, what was this? I mean, we would actually have people ask for refunds and be this is...
Now, did you have to watch, as store policy, all the movies that were there?
I never watched it. No.
Oh, is that a store?
A friend of mine worked at Movie Gallery, and he said that they weren't forced to, but they were asked to watch every movie that came in so that you could give a review on the fly.
God.
If somebody said, hey, can you give me a quick review of XYZ? But most people who were signing up for the job were movie buffs anyway and would have seen them, you know.
Yeah.
I had never even heard of this movie until you had suggested it like a year and a half ago.
I remember it, but not well. I never saw it.
And I was a kid when it came out. I don't.
This was big. Whoopi Goldberg tried to not make this movie.
Oh, she tried.
Really?
She tried really hard to get out
of it. The studio They sued her because she, under her contract, owed them a picture. She literally was forced to make this movie.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that says a lot because, you know, at least in the 80s, Whoopi Goldberg movies were always really good. Or at least they were entertaining.
You can keep backtracking that if you want, Jack.
Or at least they were movies.
You can keep walking that back because I don't know.
At least they were shot films.
Oh, come on! Like you don't like you hate Cat Burglar. Come on.
Yeah, Jumpin' Jack Flash. Yeah, great stuff. What an era when Whoopi Goldberg could open a movie. That is sort of funny to think of.
Eddie's in the theater. No.
Oh my god,
I was
Eddie's
awe of how bad it was.
Yeah.
Alright, so we'll start off with Theodore Rex, one of the most confusing movies we've ever seen. This is like counselor level confusing.
Well, it opens with an opening dialogue, correct?
Prologue. Once upon a time in the future.
Yep.
And it goes to this whole thing with how this guy, I can't remember what his name was, Mr. Kane or
species have been wiped out from existence. So.
Well, no, he's planning on destroying all life on Earth through the use of some missile he's got.
He's going to launch a missile and that will create a new ice age?
Yes, and then he's going to reanimate all these pairs of animals that he has, like the Ark, and then create his own vision of paradise.
This is actually, the more I thought about it, not dissimilar from Drax's plan in Moonraker.
It's basically the same plan. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that's where he got it from.
Maybe. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Big Moonraker fan.
But they just, dump this on you as exposition to a point where I'm like, is this happening in the movie? Or is this...
It's like they're telling you the end of the movie before it begins. Like, shouldn't that be like the end of second act reveal? Like, oh my God, he's going to do this. Let's try to stop him.
Yeah, because it ends with the scroll ends with one of the employees, or two, I can't remember if it was one or two of them, got loose and is going to go tell the police about his plan.
It's so strange because I feel like they must have been an edit of this movie where someone's like, the stakes aren't clear.
Yeah.
So they had to they literally just had to tell the audience the stakes at the beginning of the movie.
Hey, idiots, there's a bad guy. He's going to destroy the world. He cloned dinosaurs.
Yeah. So it goes from the scroll to this guy who looks like Tommy Wiseau from The Room.
Yes, he's chasing a dinosaur around like a swampy area.
Yeah,
he's the tar pits of something, like in California, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so he's chasing this, like, anthropomorphic dinosaur through this tar pit.
This is not Ed Burns and Friends, by the way.
No.
And then
he I wish it were.
Then he, like, throws, like, a butterfly on him or something, wasn't it?
It's like a little CGI butterfly he, like, shoots out at him. It's some kind of,
and
like,
then it dies, really, and then really weird things start happening with the environment. And
yep. And Ed Burns shows up with fertilizer.
Yep.
So it dies, and then we go to
our main character is like wakes up from a dream, like he sensed it, right? Is that what happens?
I think
there's also the movie, like, also the movie says thing. That dinosaurs are linked together and they can feel each other's deaths.
Yes. It's almost like the force.
But that never comes back again, really.
Well, no, he talks about it a lot, but it doesn't really go anywhere.
No, it never goes anywhere, except for in this one scene, but they do then continue to talk about it.
Yeah. Unnecessarily, yes.
His name is Teddy.
I like how the movie's called Theodore Rex, but everyone just calls him Ted or Teddy.
Everyone calls him Teddy. Yeah. Teddy Rex.
And every dinosaur they establish. So the scientist has bred dinosaurs. It's the future. There's anthropomorphic dinosaurs that live on Earth. But it's like there's some veiled references to, like, you know, greenhouse effect stuff. Like, oh, I remember I saw a raccoon once when I was a kid. That guy's going to clone a raccoon and bring raccoons back. There's some stupid jokes like that.
Yeah.
And the movie opens up kind of like Howard the Duck, where they kind of just show him in bits and pieces, like going through his daily routine.
Well, yeah, he wakes up from this dream, and he's like, he calls into the police station, I think, and he's like, "Is there anything going on? Because I just felt something or something like that." And I think she's like, "Yeah, there was a dinocide or something."
Yeah, they actually do call it a dinocide.
And he's like, "I'll be right down there." And he like goes through his morning routine, and he's like talking to himself the whole time. It's like really bizarre.
Doesn't he have like a parrot or something he's talking to?
No, he's got a dog.
A dog.
A dog. Yeah, he is a PR person for the future police. Yes.
Like he was hired as a publicity stunt to try to bridge the racial barrier between humans and dinosaurs.
It's not really
is it a racial barrier?
I don't know.
Species.
This is what I know scientifically it would be species, but the way the movie is playing it off is as if it were racial tension.
Such a species.
Kind of does. Yeah. And he is a cookie launching machine.
Yeah, because he just yells cookie, and a cookie will launch like at his face.
Yep. And so, he's the timing, I can't stress enough the timings where he's like, oh, a dinosaur died? Oh my God. Okay, all right, I'm going to help you with the investigation. Cookie! Like, once cookie's launched in his mouth.
Yeah.
So freaking weird.
So strange.
As he's like walking around his apartment.
Does it go to Whoopi Goldberg here?
Yes, it goes to action star Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. Yep. Oh God, is wearing this bizarre future cop outfit.
She's so uncomfortable in the outfit she's wearing. She's like, the way she like stands and walks, she just looks so
uncomfortable. They got her in like this skin tight number with like a utility belt and like a headset, and so she looks like a future cop.
Yeah, so she's like on a rooftop looking at something with like binoculars or
like
futuristic binoculars.
And she found some kidnappers who wind up crashing their own truck, pretty much independent of anything Whoopi Goldberg is doing.
Yes.
And I don't even really understand I don't even really understand what happened here with this scene. Whoopi Goldberg kind of does she even capture these kidnappers?
They get away.
Yeah.
But I don't even get who they kidnapped.
Yeah. Or why this matters.
I don't remember.
Or what?
It's just to establish that she's sort of this loose cannon cop who's somehow this like gets her back on the force or back in good standing.
Because we get that classic scene where like someone's like, "All right,
Kaczynski,
Goldberg, you're off suspension.
Yeah.
I've got some other news though. You're breaking in a new partner."
Yep.
You know.
Except in this case, it's Richard Roundtree who's telling her this.
Yeah. But here's a funny thing. This movie never establishes. Probably everyone's first question is, how are there freaking dinosaurs walking around? This is never really explained in the movie. I mean, they kind of go into it later on in the film, but they never fully say, like,
or, like, all the other animals are, like, they talk about bringing other animals back, and they're just animals.
Right.
But for some reason, the dinosaurs are, like, human-like, where they talk and speak English.
Yes.
Yeah.
They wear clothes. They go to these really bizarre nightclubs.
Yeah. It's also
like
shot.
If you're humans, why would you like bring back one of the few species that could actually wipe you out and make them like intelligent to the point where they can communicate
and drive,
driving cars
and like, shoot guns,
do police work?
There's clearly so much going on in this world. There's special cars that are adapted for dinosaurs to drive, but we never.
There's no real reason for it. I mean, obviously they tell us where they come from. The scientist brought the dinosaurs back. They're his children, but still, there's no real logic to it.
And this is one of my favorite things we see in these movies. That classic early to mid '90s Street Fighter, Super Mario Brothers, Judge Dredd,
futuristic movie look.
That
it looks like a Total Recall. Let's just take all the stuff from Total Recall and throw it in this movie.
Warehouse.
It is so interesting. Like, I didn't even really notice it, you know, living in the 90s, but when you look back at some of these movies, even go like as far to like the Batman movies of the 90s, like there was always like those street gangs. It's amazing how like there was that fascination with that type of bad guy in that decade.
Yeah, it was with bright colored hair and chains and stuff.
And
they
wanted to shoot everything in a soundstage. Yeah. You know, like the location whole work was like, it was such a bad idea.
Yeah. It's probably difficult to control the puppets in an on location setting, maybe.
Yep.
I don't know. I can't even explain it. It looked like a world built out of Legos or something.
It was, that's a good way to say
it. I described it at one point in my notes. I'm like, it's sort of like Blade Runner met Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of a little darker than Super Mario Brothers. Because this movie sucked. Like,
there are dark moments to it.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of the shots were like Howard the Duck, where they had all these, like, shots, aerial shots, and like it was kind of like this weird, like futuristic downtown.
Yeah.
And it wants to be, this movie has like a goal of being kind of like noir-y. Like at one point, I'm like, this movie's kind of trying to be Chinatown. Yeah. And I'm like, that's insane. Because one of the characters is an anthropomorphic dinosaur.
Chinatown. Forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
So they assign Teddy to be Whoopi Goldberg's new partner.
And he like crashes like a swanky party with like the mayor and the police commissioner and all these people just to get on the job.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
How many tail jokes?
Oh, too many.
Can they make in one scene?
Too many.
I think 47. I can't remember how many were in this movie.
There were so many.
I don't know how the whole bringing back the dinosaur things work if like, because I assume, like, this Theodore Rex character is, like, I don't know how old he is.
I have no
idea.
He's
an adult, I think, though.
Yeah.
They act like he's never known that he's had a tail. Because there's, like, 25 times in this movie where they make a joke out of him, like, turning around and whacking someone with his tail.
Has a mind of its own.
Yeah, but then other times he, like, uses it to his advantage.
Oh, yeah. He seems in full control of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's just a klutzy dinosaur. I don't know.
That's it.
Yeah. By the way, he convinces Shaft to put him on the force because it'll be good for publicity. Like the mayor says this would be great for publicity, and he says, all right, fine.
And a politician says to Whoopi Goldberg, hey, straighten up and fly right. You know? And now we kind of get the guys who, I don't even know why they're the bad guys at this point in the movie, but I'm like, oh, clearly they're the bad guys. And they seem to be worried about a dinosaur being teamed up with Whoopi Goldberg. And I'm like, why? If you're the bad guys, why are you worried? This seems like ridiculous.
This would work in your favor because she's got to deal with this numbskull while you're off doing your bad stuff.
Well, I think the bad guys actually want him on it because the one guy is the one who convinces the chief or whatever to put him on the case with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, right.
But he's like a bad guy. Chief doesn't know it, and he goes back to the other bad guy later on. He's like, I got them, the two worst ones put on the case, whatever. He's like, a dinosaur and that terrible Whoopi Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Apparently she's like a terrible cop.
That wooden actress, Whoopi Goldberg.
Apparently she's like this terrible cop. So he gets them put on the case because they will presumably not solve anything.
Yeah.
So that's why he pushed it for them to be on the case.
One thing that really bothered me about one of the jokes in that scene prior where, you know, they team the dinosaur and Whoopi Goldberg up is they try to make that one joke where, like, what is their character's name? Like, Sandstorm or something?
I'm going
to look it up.
They're like, we're teaming you up with the best in the biz, Sandstorm. And then they go and there's like a Rambo-looking guy with like a cut-off shirt and like an assault rifle and like a shell belt draped across his chest.
Yeah.
And then like the joke is then like Whoopi Goldberg comes from behind and like pushes him out of the way and like, oh, that's his partner. Like, it bothered me. And frequent podcast guest Sal Mineen was watching as well. And he was like, why, of all the things in this movie, why does that bother you? And I was saying, like, it's such a lazy joke because, one, no cop comes in with
bandolier.
dressed like Rambo. Yeah. So, one, that doesn't even make any sense because I didn't even realize at first he was a cop. I thought he was just some random,
like a
badass guy. Yeah, mercenary guy. And two, it's like a policeman's ball. Everyone's dressed up in, like, suits and dressed to the nines, and this guy's really going to show up looking like Sly Stallone?
Yeah.
It just bothers me so much.
Her name is Katie Coltrane.
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 Yeah. But you're right. That guy's like, oh, actually, I'm sorry. I'm just a one-dimensional character here.
It might have worked better if it was the other way around there telling
Whoopi
who her partner
was. Didn't they do that in Feast? Where the guy kicks down the door and he's like, all right, guys, I'm the one who's going to get us out of here. And then he gets killed by the monster like 2 seconds later.
Yeah. What's that? Not really the same thing.
Oh, spoiler alert.
No, what did you say?
In the film Feast, the horror movie Feast, is basically a bunch of it's a
dumb, I didn't hear the name of the movie you said.
In the movie Feast, a little bit.
Now we're gonna review Feast.
There's a group of people trapped in a cabin, and these monsters are attacking, and all the stereotypical characters archetypes are there, and the guy with the gun who says, "I'm gonna get us out of here," is the first one who dies.
Okay, I got
you. Ha ha ha! We just broke the convention of the cliche. They were trying to be creative, and they weren't. You get the idea.
So they bring Teddy and Whoopi Goldberg go to look at the dinosaur that was murdered.
Yeah. So now they're looking at the body, and this is again where he mentions, I just can feel it. I can just feel when another dinosaur dies or whatever.
And
feel a disturbance in the force.
It's basically what Teddy says. And Teddy, who this turns into, like, I'm really questioning the forensic sciences, because he's a dinosaur. And he just pulls a giant piece of glass out of the dinosaur's body, where I'm like, wow, I guess the lab techs missed that, and we needed a huge clumsy dinosaur to pull this piece of glass out, where he's like, man, this might be something. Okay, I guess. And is the next scene where they go to the dinosaur bar?
Eventually. He's like, I'm going to look for some leads. Or does he think, like, there's this dinosaur that he's in love with?
The dinosaur that was killed, I think her...
Oh,
His wife was the singer.
The Dino Cabaret singer.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And he's got a crush on her, so he wants to use this as an excuse to talk to the wife.
Good God. So they go to this bar.
Who he's hitting on while telling her that her husband has died.
Oh, yeah, we'll get it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so they go to this bar, which is like the Mos Eisley Cantina, but with 100%
there's like a dinosaur like hitting on Whoopi Goldberg, and Whoopi Goldberg the whole time is totally like acting racist. Like, oh, my God, you weirdos, you know, like she hates the dinosaur.
What's that racist?
Speciesist.
Like, if a dog hit on you and you weren't interested, would you consider that racist?
No, I'm not talking about that scene in general. I'm talking about in general when she walks into the bar and she's like, you know, there was a sense that she thought that the dinosaurs were freaks.
Well, yeah, because
I can understand why she'd be turned off by the dinosaur.
A dinosaur that keeps burping in her ear. Yeah. Like, it's like a running joke. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do.
It's such
really
a creepy looking dinosaur, too. Like, it doesn't talk at all. It always has that, like, teeth showing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like really Remind me of the scene in like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas where he's like tripping out in the bar.
Oh yeah, everyone turns into lizards. The lounge lizards. The lounge lizard scene. Yeah, that's great.
And we meet. I have to think this dinosaur was voiced by Carol Kane.
It was. Yeah.
Okay, who's doing like an impression of Mae West?
Yeah.
As a dinosaur, and Teddy's like, you're right. Teddy's like, somebody's like, hey, your husband was murdered, and. Also, hey.
You look pretty good. Like, he's totally in love with her. And
yeah,
he's like,
what do you
playing,
got going on now?
He's playing the whole, like, awkward, I'm nerdy and I got a crush on this girl scene. And he's telling her that her husband is dead. And Whoopi Goldberg's, like, cut straight to the point. She starts interrogating her.
We can't stress enough how noirish this movie is trying to be. It's really trying to be like a Chandler novel, but with one of the characters is a dinosaur.
Yes. I can only imagine how this got greenlit. I don't know.
I wish I knew.
That dinosaurs TV show probably helped.
Yeah, we're saying that too, because that's what happened right around that time.
Yeah, and those monsters, the dinosaurs actually look a lot like the ones from the show.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll jump ahead a little bit. So, I mean, they ultimately decide that Teddy needs to get a costume change, because he's like...
Wait.
He's
first,
a cop.
Is this before or after the scene where they're dancing and... In his apartment, because that was like super weird.
I think
this cabaret dancer back to his place, I think, or is it her place? I can't remember, but
I think it's her.
There's like this dancing where they're dancing, but it's like almost like it's supposed to be a sex scene, like the way he's like, ooh yeah, and they're like, and he's like, everything's like, he's breaking everything with his tail, and it's like,
yeah.
And it comes out after he's all like happy, like he just got laid, and
like, it's really played for laughs.
No, it's like really kind of creepy.
Yeah, like it's played like you're supposed to be like, oh, that's this hot, you know, this hot Mae West
dinosaur.
I've
been waiting for this dino action the whole time.
Yeah, it's so strange.
And don't they at one point? I think this might be. Maybe this is right after they pay a visit to the lab where they resurrect animals.
Yes.
And you find out that Theodore Rex was created by this doctor who's, I guess, has the plan to create the second Ice Age.
This is where we, for the first time, we get some explanation in this movie of why there are dinosaurs walking around. And
there's this geneticist who's trying to bring back, he's trying to bring back extinct species, but for some reason when he does so, he makes them, he gives them humanity.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if that's implied that he did that on purpose.
But we don't see any other species that are...
No, well, like I said, there were jokes. There were there were jokes earlier where they were like, I haven't seen a raccoon since I was a little boy. He's going to bring raccoons back to life. There were stupid little jokes
like
that.
Well, there's
that
one little creature thing in the when they go to the place there.
Oh, yeah.
There was the guy that's making the weapons or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that other creature. But like, but that's not even like...
I don't know what
that was, though. No, I don't even know what that was.
That was like made up. Yeah, whatever that was.
There was a part of me, like much like the counselor, I was like, oh, maybe I should go on Wikipedia to try to understand this plot. And then I was like,
it looked like something from the Nightmare Before Christmas.
It did.
So they go, they decide Teddy has to get a new costume. So he goes to like the police station where the costume department, like
he's like on a transporter beam and like his clothes keep like he keeps pressing buttons and he's like dressed like a this like a Mexican bandito and he's like olé and then he presses it again
not,
and he's
it's
like
it's not just his clothes that change his accent
yes
changes,
it does
which I don't even this was just felt like filler where they're like you know what'd be funny a dinosaur in a Hawaiian shirt
yep
like let's,
it's kind of like a, it's kind of like so a play bad. On the classic scene where they do the montage where someone like walks into a change booth and it jump cuts and he comes out and then everyone's like no and then he goes in and he comes out again you know and nope and then finally
this
good
this made no sense in the tone of the movie. I mean, this is just a goofy scene. It really felt like someone was like, get a goofy comedy scene in there that doesn't fit with anything else we're going to see in the film.
Now, here's the thing I didn't get. Now they keep saying he's an undercover cop, so why does he have to change his outfit? So I'm thinking, well, maybe...
No, he dresses more like a cop.
They're going to give him a uniform, then that's going to make him less of an undercover cop.
He's a dinosaur! How undercover can he be?
Well, I guess you're right. But they put him in, like, they put him in an outfit that just looks like a well-laundered version of the outfit he was wearing before.
Yeah.
And Whoopi maintains her police outfit. Oh, we didn't touch on her nephew. Isn't there like some little kid that she's...
I don't know.
He's trying to set her up. He's trying to set her up with his dad. And like she takes a shine to this little kid. Well,
set her up with their brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
You and my dad have a great guy. My dad.
There are laws against that kid. No, I meant maybe he is like a nephew to her, but not biologically.
Is this the kid?
Who says they're like a nephew?
It's like some street urchin that she like.
I've always thought of you as a nephew.
It's like this poor kid on the street, but he's a good kid, and she likes him, and he looks up to her.
Is this the street hockey scene?
Yes, we're coming because that's the first place. Because he says, will you come to our game? And she's like, well, I don't know, kid. And he's like, oh, come on, please. And
wait, she's like, I always think of you as a nephew. Will you come to our game? I don't know.
If I thought of you as a son.
Yeah, I didn't say you're my son.
You're really more of an acquaintance.
I like
nephew.
See you at holidays.
Yeah, you're that annoying kid. He's the annoying
aunts
kid.
Aunts don't go to nephew's games, really.
Yeah. I mean, we're not that close.
Really? I don't even know your name.
Your
so.
Dad isn't that hot.
Is this where we find out where... For no reason that Teddy is really good at street hockey.
Yeah.
Yep.
A skill that never comes back in the movie.
He doesn't know that
he just uses his tail.
Once again, suddenly he has complete control of his tail.
He doesn't know the J shot though from Jack Frost.
Yep.
No.
Or the knuckle puck.
We get a bunch. Feel free to jump in if we want. The next thing I have in my notes is the dinosaur funeral. Which somehow offended
what was
me.
That?
Oh, yeah.
They were all like wailing, like in unison. Like it was they were like
that
dancing, singing. This is really bizarre. I think they were implying it's a cultural thing, like dinosaur culture.
Is
but
this a kids' movie?
Yes.
I would imagine it's supposed to be.
I think that's very debatable. I think you could debate who this movie is for.
I've never, no. seen a weird funeral scene in a kid's movie.
Like, this
before.
Is like, this would be like, maybe not scary to a little kid, but certainly confusing.
Well, confusing to me.
It's a movie based on murder,
yes.
Genetic tampering.
Yes.
Police work.
Destroying the entire
global
species.
Domination, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, that's what and corruption. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, so then I'm like, well, that's not a kid's movie.
No.
But then you're like, well, it's also starring an anthropomorphic dinosaur and has, like, a bunch of wacky jokes about his tail knocking things over. Yeah. So I'm like, well, maybe, I don't know who it's for.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I thought when I was first watching it and I saw, like, the cover of the DVD, I was like, oh, this must just be some kid's movie. And it's like, it opens with, a dinosaur being murdered, them going over forensic evidence.
Yep.
a weird funeral scene.
Yep.
And being and like going undercover at a bar and like hitting on people. It's like
this is. Yep.
I mean, if I was seeing this when I was like 5 or 6, I'd be like, what is this world? Like,
yep.
What yep. am I watching?
Yeah, it
was, I don't yep. know.
Like, because there's not even like stupid kids jokes in there that would make you. Like, the only joke yeah. that you would maybe get as a kid is, like, the scene we were just talking about when he's flipping through the costumes and
yeah.
he's talking in different accents. But even that...
Yeah. Yeah. I would... Yeah.
I just found... I don't know who
I'm
this
imagining
appeals
to. Yeah, like,
that's probably
no
why.
One, it appealed
probably
to
why
no
it
one.
Wasn't released in theaters.
What was it rated even?
I think it's rated G, isn't it?
I think it's PG.
PG?
I think
okay.
it's PG.
I hope it's at least PG.
Dad, what's genetic tampering?
so weird.
It is just it kind is. Of like, I don't know, we get a bunch more spinning around. Like, just the movie just kind of sits and
there's
spins
that,
for a while.
There's that one scene where the street thugs attack.
Yes.
Theodore Rex and Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And trash the car.
And yes. trash the car, yes. but don't accomplish anything else. Other
I don't know
than,
what
like,
the point of that was.
Because yeah. when they get a new car...
Oh,
it's
and
a
their
garbage
new,
truck.
Their new car's a garbage
is, this
truck.
Is also the part around here when we learned that, like, which I didn't quite get, but Whoopi Goldberg is like half cyborg, half
yeah.
woman.
Okay. Is she like a robot? Yeah, okay. I don't know.
I is this like a whole Blade Runner thing?
Is that relevant to the movie?
I don't think so.
Only at the end
when she gets
she's,
like shot or I can't,
yeah, when
I
she's
totally
paralyzed,
yeah.
but. Because they have that one scene in there where she like goes to meet some doctor who like she's talking about like the operation she had.
Yeah.
But I was confused.
Oh, yeah.
Was she a human and then like they kind of like Robocopped her? Or was she like made half
I
human?
Was, I, when I was watching it,
was
like,
she genetically created?
That's, yeah,
I was like, are you kidding? This movie is clearly like based on these kind of like deep concepts, but I'm like in the goofiest
yeah.
form
I know.
Imaginable.
Because I don't remember, yeah. there was some scene where they kind of talked about it and it just came out of nowhere. Like there was no like
and really,
hint at it.
And never really comes back until at the very end. When even then it's like, well, I guess it kind of came back, but
they could have done it a different way.
It didn't even need to come back. Yeah,
yeah.
It's just.
Yeah,
like,
I was so confused.
Are they implying that she's somehow like detached from humanity, and a dinosaur helps her regain her humanity?
I think that's basically
and
what
not like
for,
the
yeah.
little kid, who's like this god kid or kind of like a nephew to her. I don't know.
I don't know, Jack. You're giving it a lot of credit. I mean, like this is like when Lindsay Lohan had like a robotic leg, and I Know Who Killed Me. Like, it was just random and like, oh, I
yeah,
it felt
yeah.
out of place.
Yeah.
Also, they pay a visit to that weapons maker who made
the butterfly.
Anatomic butterfly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And then that place, they somehow survive a explosion.
Oh, yeah. They're like right there when it explodes.
Yep.
And that's the scene also with the very strange thing in a paper bag that...
Yeah,
like taunts them.
Yeah, well,
are we
even,
at this point?
Well,
here?
I also want to say before that we so finally one of the tech guys at the police station finds the guy who made the murder weapon. So that's how they end up going there. Mm. They go in through a huge collection of dead cryo-frozen people. Hi, kids. This movie's for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's like this puppet that they're talking to. I guess.
God, it's
yeah, it's basically like.
What was it supposed to be?
What is that
what
thing?
What was it supposed to be?
I don't know. I don't. And the movie doesn't give you much understanding of it.
Because the movie at this point in the weird world that they're in, there's humans, cyborg humans, talking dinosaurs, and apparently other talking animals that we're not introduced to. But now they've introduced, like, a
monster
in a bag.
Yeah. Just straight up
like,
monsters.
What is happening here?
Yeah. Yeah. And the bad guys have kidnapped the Mae West dinosaur.
Oh, that's
And there's a scene in here where, like, Teddy, I think when he's talking... No, when they're talking to the guy who made the butterfly gun, where for no reason, Teddy starts slipping in and out of a Humphrey Bogart impression, a Schwarzenegger impression, a Stallone impression, and a terrible Jack Nicholson impression. At which point, like, I single tear started falling out of my eyes. I'm like, where is this going?
Yeah.
Without punchlines. Without mm-hmm. punchlines. Like,
those are always, like, the go-to impressions, too.
Well, can you imagine, like, a little kid who's like, hey, Daddy, listen to that great Humphrey Bogart impression.
Should have done what? Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah. Hey, I hope he does Jimmy Cagney next. Maybe Errol Flynn. I
don't know. Edward G. Robinson.
So if we're lucky, he'll do an old Buster Keaton routine. Yeah.
Yes.
So he's. I'm trying to think of like what happens next. So the guy who makes the guns, I know it ends up with Theodore Rex sitting on him and farting on him.
Yes, actually it does. Like he's actually
is he farting?
No, he is actually farting because I remember like what? Like he's sitting down and he's like get him off me, get him off me. Like they're torturing him and then he just starts farting.
I thought he was like breathing because I know there's like a running theme where his like breath stinks.
Yeah,
which is another, but he also farts. Another weird like I don't know,
which isn't even really like a running joke. You're like, yeah, he's a dinosaur. I would assume his breath would stink.
He eats. Oh, he is a vegetarian.
No, he's a vegetarian.
Yeah,
he's
all
vegetarian.
The dinosaurs are vegetarians, even the ones with the big sharp pointy teeth.
Yeah. And then also Whoopi Goldberg's maybe nephew relationship semi-friend has also been kidnapped by the bad guys.
Yes, this is their damsel in distress, I guess.
If you feel confused listening to this, you should be, because I'm
watched actually more
movie.
After like talking about it now, I'm more confused.
I'm very confused.
It's not. It seems when you're watching it that it's just kind of like a like it's more dry than you'd expect it to be. It's less goofy. It's just kind of stupid. You kind of follow along, but then under closer scrutiny, there is just this is like a complex web of weirdness that's just lying just beneath the surface
it
of
really
unanswered
is.
Questions and what the hell that doesn't add up.
Yeah.
And you're right. You don't think about it until you discuss it.
It really is a little bit like a Chandler novel where you're like, I don't know if that did make sense or what the bad guys were going for or like how the corruption tied in or I'm trying to think where we're going to next.
So the place
farts
just
on the guy.
Blew up.
Yeah, the place
and
blows
they
up.
Captured the weapons guy.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. We're
and
all
that's
stuck.
The end.
Oh, and then okay. So some of the bad guys are supposed to be following Theodore Rex and Whoopi Goldberg, but Whoopi Goldberg and Theodore Rex find these bad guys.
Yeah.
And this ends up with Teddy in a crazy flying contraption,
much like in Howard the Duck.
In Howard the Duck, and I'm watching this and being like, I mean, this was made in the mid '90s. They had seen Howard the Duck flop.
Howard the Duck was already a legend in 95.
Yeah.
I thought this was, the whole movie was very Howard the Duck-ish.
Yeah, with the kind of noir elements, flying machine, like inappropriate, like not age appropriate.
Appropriate humor,
Humor, yeah.
But at least there was no Dino Whoopi scene. You know what I'm talking about.
I think we all know what you're talking about.
Oh, that was good, actually. That was a good double entendre there.
Yeah.
You meant to do that, right?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So
that was actually really. I just feel like we should give Jack because sometimes we're a little hard on Jack.
Yeah.
When he makes puns, but that was actually a very clever pun.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you. A tear is streaming down my face right now. I think you're gonna. It's
all right.
Okay,
why don't you just quit
going.
For now, Jack? We'll see you next episode.
Okay. Yeah.
Quote all your head.
So the bad guy does launch his Ice Age missile. At which point, I just have a note where I'm like, I know nothing more about this plan than I did an hour ago in the opening monologue.
Yeah.
It's basically he's just gonna.
He and Juliet Landau are going to blow up the world.
And I think, like, Theodore Rex asks him, like, why he killed the other two dinosaurs, and the bad guy's like, oh, they were going to expose my plan. But at this point, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, no one understood this plan. Like, expose it to who? Like you're even doing your plan and we don't understand your plan.
Now, at this point, why not just go full out and throw in some plot device where the dinosaurs are somewhat like sleeper agents, and once they, like, have grown to a certain age or reached a certain maturity, their brains devolve and they become, like, vicious killer dinosaurs. That would make a kick-ass movie, and then Theodore Rex has to fight within himself to maintain his humanity, and his affection for his partner, Whoopi Goldberg, Katie Coltrane, is going to keep him grounded, and he's got to come together to save that kid and save the city and save the world and bring the dinosaurs back from this state. But then at the end, he's going to have to be offered his job at the police department, but he says, no, you know what, I'm an animal, I must go to the wild. And then he disappears into the jungle and the movie ends.
I'm already more on board with that movie than I am with this movie that we watched. So now somehow, like, Whoopi and Theodore Rex have to get out of this situation. So,
well, Whoopi gets shot here, right?
Whoopi gets shot.
Yes. Yeah.
This
is where the whole cyborg thing comes into play, when she's shot in the chest, and then becomes just paralyzed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
But with no
what's the point of being a cyborg? Because it's supposed to like enhance you. Yeah. What's the point of being a cyborg when you get shot and you're just paralyzed?
Yeah.
So Theodore Rex is like, it's okay, I'll save the day. But he really has no plan. He just starts like running down a
hill.
And
then she doesn't give him a gun.
No.
Theodore Rex can't have a gun because then the kids would be, you know.
Well, then he wants one because earlier,
wants a gun.
Because earlier, like
it might help if I had a gun here.
Because earlier, when he gets ambushed driving his little car and they tear it up and everything, they're like, "Why didn't you defend yourself? Where's your gun?" He's like, "Oh, I don't believe in guns." But then in the end, he's like, "Yeah, give me a gun. Like, I need to save the world." She's like, "No, you taught me that we don't need guns."
Save
the person who just got shot by a gun and was paralyzed.
He's like, "I was full of it. I need a gun."
Yeah. I'm starting to think guns are bad.
Yeah. So he ends up building like a counselor style clothesline. As they're coming down this giant hill, and he clotheslines the bad guys so that they burst into a flaming sign.
Well, the clothesline like hooks the scientist driver.
Yes.
And then the other bad guy in the passenger seat, the car just for some reason keeps going and then explodes into a billboard.
Yeah. He somehow stops the missile. How did he stop the missile even? I don't even remember.
Didn't he get like
there's a remote
control from the scientist and like
there's a self-destruct button.
Pushed a button.
It was like self-destruct. He gets upgraded to in the Star Wars scene.
Yep. Dun, 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 or more like or Short Circuit Part 2.
Yeah. Yes. He's now upgraded to Detective First Class and Whoopi Goldberg is fine. So
yeah, she's off and walking, and she's fine. And they don't show that kid, so we're assuming he's fine. And
I guess. Well, we'd barely seen him before that, and
dinosaur is all cool. And
the Mae West character is.
I think she's in that scene. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she has because I mean they were never going to kill her. They just wanted her to be Theodore Rex's mate. He was going to be. They were going to be like the dinosaur.
Well, ended up being. The girl dinosaur he was with at the end wasn't the original one he was interested in, right?
I thought it was.
I think it is. God, this movie's insane.
I thought that the one that he was interested in originally like had like blonde hair and was the singer, and I thought he ended up being with like the waitress.
Well, wait. I don't know.
Maybe
the Mae West dinosaur took her outfit off, and then she really looked like a kind of like you know, like you were saying about that actress in the other movie. Like for the movie, they made her look less dollish.
We also get
maybe they're doing that for a dinosaur perspective. Like
when
she's singing on stage, she looks nice, and then when she's at the dino grocery store, she's wearing her yogurt pants and her hair is in a ponytail.
For people listening, Jack just did a demonstration of a dinosaur shaking it on the stage. Yeah.
But we can't say shake it off or else Taylor Swift will sue us.
You get no real character development on the Mae West dinosaur, so I feel like I don't even really know who she was.
She was just someone he liked.
I thought she was just some dame who got mixed up in this whole mess and Theodore Rex felt sorry for her and then he started to fall for her, just like in the Sam Spade tradition.
I thought she was a femme fatale, and then at the end of the movie they're like, nope, she's actually cool.
I thought she was one of the bad guys.
I thought she was a femme fatale, because in like the noir tradition, like the kind
she
of like...
She backstabs him, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, that kind of
the
like...
The female who kind of entices the hero and then turns out to be
bad guy.
Yeah, terrible. Nope, that's not...
The bad girl.
I will say, I thought this movie was terrible. I thought I was going to like this movie in a so bad it's good way.
No.
It's dull.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Well, I think it evidenced by
how quickly
we just went through it. There was like nothing to it. There was
And there's no substance here. There's nothing to laugh at even.
But
really.
It's very confusing. Yeah, I mean, it's just a terrible movie.
I was let down kind of because when you hear the concept, right? Whoopi Goldberg's a cop in the future and her partner is a dinosaur. You think, oh my God, like that can't possibly be real. Yeah. Then you look at the poster and there she is smiling with a buddy hug around a dinosaur and it's this big rubber dinosaur and it's this bright yellow poster with these blow up like red letters, Theodore Rex. You're like, oh my God. And then you watch it and it's like watching paint dry.
Well, when you first saw me about it, I assumed that it was like more modern day, like a more of a Howard the Duck thing, where it's like,
right,
Whoopi Goldberg is a modern day detective, and she's happens to be paired up with a dinosaur somehow or whatever. But
right.
The fact that it was in the future, I think, kind of made it less interesting to me too. It was like, well,
yeah,
you get those stupid futuristic sets, and it's like there's nothing really to relate to. Or
I really just feel like bad. This was pitched as Chinatown, but with one of the dinosaurs from the Dinosaurs TV show.
Set in the future.
And set in the future.
I wonder what this would have been like if maybe this were like a Pixar animated film instead. Probably. Obviously a plot rework, because if the story were identical, yeah,
Pixar
it still
never would have. Pixar never would have moved ahead with this
I could
script.
See it more of like a Food Fight sort of situation.
This felt made. A little Food Fighty to me. Yeah. I mean, in the Is It So Bad It's Good category, I'm just going to come right out and say, no, it is not. I don't, like, you may think, oh, Whoopi Goldberg and a dinosaur, like, a cop, buddy cop movie. You may be like, oh, that's so crazy,
don't
I should
do
see
it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not fun.
No.
I mean, are we all in agreement
on
that?
I almost feel bad we've been teasing towards this episode for
I know.
Well, because
it was a huge letdown.
Because it's an Admiral Akbar, you know? It's a trap. People see that poster, they hear that title, they read that premise.
Look at Jack makes an Admiral Akbar reference like 4 times a day.
I love Admiral Akbar. It's a trap.
In the past 24 hours, I've heard him make like 3.
We're going to have to start. Jack's going
to
start
we're
going
to have
like,
a jar. He's going to put a dollar in every time.
Or he's going to have to go to like other characters who are making like Mon Mothma references. Or something.
Yeah. We'll that had to be creative to do a Mon Mothma reference.
We'll call it the act jar.
I like it. I like it. Anyway, but what I'm saying is I think there's a lot of anticipation from people who haven't seen the movie or who maybe saw it like 20 years ago and are remembering it as it being worse in a funny way than it actually is, because I was looking forward to it like, oh my God, Theodore Rex, this has got to be terrible. And like about, it felt like it was about 70 minutes long.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing there. There's a couple of dumb sight things. Like, it looks very stupid. But it really isn't full of any eye-rolling moments. It's just like, this is... But they were taking this too seriously. This is just stupid.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the 20th anniversary DVD to come out this year.
Oh, hopefully it has a commentary track. Yeah.
I think the behind-the-scenes is even more interesting than the movie, just with Whoopi not wanting to do it, being like, forced him to do it.
Like, I would absolutely
watch... It's like
the
Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers, right?
Yeah, it's a little like that. Well, and I absolutely would watch, if they said something like how this movie came together or like what the screenwriting process was, like, I would watch that in a second to be like, what led to this? But the actual result is just like... Bleh.
Underwhelming.
Yeah. I think that may bring this one to a close. I apologize for the delays in this episode.
No, so wrong, it's right.
No, I wanted to, after I watched this movie, I didn't want to know anything more about it. I didn't want to research it. I just wanted to like throw it in the recycling bin, and hope that the DVD store will take it back.
They're gonna laugh in your face.
They are probably gonna laugh. I think this is gonna be one that they will not take back.
Any true stories about that time when you were renting this out from your Blockbuster days?
Yeah, this is. I mean, the two movies that we had the most vocal. Like parents coming in and actually wanting refunds for. This is one of the top ones because it's pretty bold. Like most people won't actually say a movie's so bad they want a refund. They'll just be like, oh, this movie stinks. Like I hope I get something better next time. This is one of the only films, and there's another one from this era, and I'm blanking on it, that I actually ever remember someone coming in and saying, I would really like a free rental. Like this is you should. And people actually saying to us like, you should get this off the shelves. Like this is because it's just so terrible.
Yeah.
And Waterworld. I'll tell my Waterworld's
I
not
that
bad.
I saw
that
in
actually.
The theater.
I'll tell another funny, because this movie's bereft of funny experiences. The funniest story from Blockbuster was when I was there. Batman Forever had come out recently, the Val Kilmer Batman movie, and I think through a tie-in with Warner Brothers, Blockbuster had a ton of copies of it. We had like shelves and shelves and shelves of Batman Forever for rental, and immediately it became apparent these weren't really moving, so we were shifting them to previously viewed, which if you guys remember, that was a big thing at Blockbuster. They would sell previously viewed. They knew they had a problem, so while it was still on the new release wall, we were selling them previously viewed for $2.99. So it was $3.35 to rent it for 2 days, or you could own it for $2.99. So it was a store policy. Anytime anybody came up with one to rent one, you would say to them, we actually had a stack of them at the counter, and you would say, would you rather just purchase this for $2.99? And I always remember this one guy came up, he looked at it, and we said, well, you can purchase it for $2.99 or you can rent it for $3.55. And a guy thought it over for a second, and he goes, no, I'm going to rent it. I don't want this to stay in my house. Which I think is a pretty telling review of yes. Batman Forever. Yeah, I think this brings this one to a close. We have some hints at some upcoming movies. Sooner or later, Diamonds Are Forever, the last Sean Connery James Bond movie, will show up in
here. The last Eon Sean Connery James Bond movie.
True. Oh, good point. Good point.
Because he never
again. Yeah, the whole Kevin McCrory situation. Mm-hmm. David Lynch's Dune will be coming up here sometime soon, which I'm looking forward to.
The spice must flow.
What else do we have? Do we have anything else in the pipeline?
Speaking
I'm not thinking of.
Well, Batman and Robin.
Oh, Batman and Robin is, yeah, we're going to do Batman and Robin soon, which I don't think I've ever seen beginning to end.
Really?
Before.
It is bad. Yeah. I remember seeing it. Jack said the same thing. We both saw it in the theater. When we were kids, separately. Not
oh,
together.
And speaking of Mae West from this movie, because Uma Thurman's doing like a crazy Mae West impression in that too. Like, hey, Batman, you know, trying to be all sexy, but in that like creepy 1940s way.
Sexy. Yeah.
That's
Gotham is in for a deep freeze.
Chill out.
I was at.
Allow me to break the ice.
I'll tell you a little anecdote. So in my day job, I work as a reporter, and I was covering a court hearing where the witness's last name was Freeze.
Oh,
like,
no.
All going through my head was like...
First name Victor?
I wish I wanted him to be like, there's a new Ice Age coming.
Well, if there ever was a place for Victor Freeze to live, it'd be upstate New York.
So that brings this one to a close. As always, you can like our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Good updates on Facebook. You can go to www.stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. That has all the older episodes. You can download them. They're all free on the site there, because I think iTunes only has the most recent 20.
I think it's like 20,
about 20 episodes. So if you're enjoying it, you want to look at our older catalog, all free there. And you can follow the show on Twitter at @windupfilms.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have any final thoughts?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, there's nothing else to say. Don't watch this movie.
I have nothing.
Do not watch. You are warned. Everyone who listens to this, you are appropriately warned. Do not watch it. We will be back soon with much more shenanigans. All right. Bye.